Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to talk some more college basketball, women's college basketball, as the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 are headed to Kansas City at Sprint Center. And to talk about that, we have Brenda Van Langen, who is a color analyst, basketball broadcaster on ESPN, SEC Network, a little bit everywhere. And most importantly, we share something. We have both been radio partners of Nate Bucati. So I feel like I don't know if that I don't know what that says, but we've survived. Here we are.
We survived, yes.
And so Nate, this is very, are you excited about this? Now we both can share notes and secrets about you as a broadcaster. And
you know, you really get to know somebody when you're driving from Norman, Oklahoma to Kansas City for 5 hours in the middle of the night.
It's a wonderful drive.
Yes. Yeah, so we've Brenda and I have spent some really good time bonding over the years.
Yes, we have.
We've got to know each other really well. We got to broadcast a lot of college basketball games on the women's side together as well. And I will say we've got a real treasure here in Kansas City with Brenda, because she's one of the preeminent voices of women's basketball across the country for ESPN and Fox and everything, and we have her right here in Kansas City, so it's pretty cool.
Thanks, Nate. I love my job, get to travel all over, talk about women's basketball, and when I get a chance, listen to you guys in the morning when I'm back, you know, 1 or 2 days a week during
the
basketball
season.
She blows
me up on text every once in a while if
we say
something, you know.
Anything that look at Jake says, yeah, oh boy. And so it's we're all excited about this because, as you mentioned, so Nate, how long were you Kansas play-by-play?
I did the play-by-play for the Kansas women's basketball team for 14 years.
And so I did women's basketball at UMKC, I think, for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've all spent a lot of time and effort in promoting women's basketball. And now, Brenda, we're having a conversation. I've begun a new journey with my twin daughters as a girls' basketball coach. As I told you, this first season was very exciting. A lot of screaming and crying involved. All of it was me, but that's fine. The girls are still excited about having me as a coach. But it changes your perspective. And so I wanted to tell you the story, and I feel so bad because I kid my boys all the time until the Royals won the World Series in 2015. You know, as soon as they're born and able to watch sports, you're a Missouri fan, you're a Royals fan, you're a Chiefs fan, and for a while, they would look at me like, why did you do that to us? Why didn't you let us pick? And then it got the payoff. And so now my girls are old enough to really watch and enjoy sports, and they like watching the Mizzou games with me. So we're watching the men's game on Friday night. We know what happened. They lost in the tournament. And so and one of my daughters really gets upset now. Selena, she was just even more upset than me. I said, baby, that's all right. Tomorrow the women's team's going to play in the tournament, and they're going to win. Because they're the 5 seed.
Yes.
It's a 2:30. We sit and watch this, and it'll be exciting, and we can root for Sophie because they love Sophie Cunningham.
Yes. And that didn't turn out well.
That turned out awful. and my daughter, she's looking, she said they were going to win.
So,
here's the funny thing about sports. I mean, let's sit down and talk. And so a little disappointing there, but it was still a great season for Mizzou and a great season for Sophie Cunningham.
Yes.
And it's been fun to watch and getting a whole another generation of girls to watch basketball. So it was a really good year. And so that did add some excitement. We were hoping that maybe they'd end up at Sprint Center, but it didn't work out that way. But nonetheless, it was good to see that rebirth. And a lot of kids are getting fired up about basketball, especially with what Sophie Cunningham said. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's fun to watch no matter what age you are. But if you are a little girl, a little boy, the way she plays is the way you want to play the game. She plays hard, and she's fun to watch, and just so much emotion and skill and athleticism. So, yeah, we're glad that she's around for another year to get to watch her and Mizzou play.
Yeah, and one of those great games that I had a chance to watch with my girls on TV is when they played Mississippi State. That was one of the better games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Mississippi State and North Carolina State and UCLA and Texas, and anyone that watched the women's tournament last year watched that fantastic game when Mississippi State ended UConn's winning streak, and then they came up short against South Carolina in the national championship game. But Mississippi State, clearly one of the finest basketball programs in the nation. So let's start right there. That's got to be exciting to have Mississippi State coming to town.
Yeah, coming to Kansas City to the Sprint Center this Friday, you get a chance to see the team that knocked off UConn last year, ended their 111-game winning streak.
Wow.
And a little bit, Morgan William, who is 5 foot nothing, who hit the shot, the game-winning shot that shook the women's basketball world. She is still the point guard. They've got her. They've got 6'7", Tierra McCowan, who's just a beast inside, and a lot of skilled players. Victoria Vivians, who is the all-time leading scorer in high school girls' basketball history. She can score from all over the court. There are a lot of really exciting players on that team to watch.
Yeah, and this whole bracket in coming to Kansas City, the chalk has held. So you got the top four seeds, Mississippi State the one, Texas the two, UCLA the three, and the North Carolina State the four. Now, we all love upsets, and there have been some great Cinderella stories in this women's basketball tournament that we can talk about in a minute. We all love the upsets, but you also like to see the great teams play against each other, especially if you're buying tickets to go down to Sprint Center and watch this. And you're going to see four really good basketball teams playing in Kansas City, basically, this weekend.
Right. Sometimes when you see the upsets, that's great. But then the next game, they just can't hold on to play a good quality game. And so you've got the top four seeds. It's the only region in the country that has the top four seeds that have advanced. And so UCLA, Texas is going to be an incredible game. UCLA has Jordan Canada, one of the most electric players in the country, a real exciting guard. And then Texas has built themselves up to be a real national championship contender. They've got Brooke McCarty, last year's Big 12 Player of the Year, just 5'4". And I love that. So Morgan William, short. Brooke McCarty, short. And those are the kind of kids that, you know, little girls, little boys can look at and go, hey, if they can play at Division I, I can play. You know, and then you've got a great matchup between UCLA and Texas first. And then North Carolina State out of the ACC, that's been incredible this year. They'll play Mississippi State on Friday.
I like Vic Schaefer. Every interview that he does, I enjoy watching him. Yeah. The head coach of Mississippi State, I like him a lot.
He's a great character. He was an assistant coach at Arkansas when Arkansas came to the Women's Final Four here in Kansas City 20 years ago. He was an assistant coach for Gary Blair at Texas A&M for years, and they won the national championship back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And then he took over with his own program in a very short period of time. Got to the national championship game last year. They're number one seed this year. He's a great guy, has a great staff around him and an excellent team. Just a lot of fun storylines, a lot of things to embrace, and they're right here in Kansas City for the regionals.
And so clearly we want people to go out and watch this because it's fun. It's great basketball. Like if you're like me and you got a couple of girls that are starting to play basketball, I want to take them out and so they can see that and maybe be inspired. But really, anyone that loves any level of basketball, it's a Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight. It's also very important because Kansas City wants to have the Final Four again here in our town. And back in 1998, when you were the executive director of the Final Four, it was here in KC. And it would go a long way to making that happen again if we get a good turnout at Sprint Center this weekend, right?
It's very important. And so if you love having big events coming to Kansas City, it's important to go to this big event this weekend because it should lead to Kansas City being able to host another Final Four. Kathy Nelson does such a great job at the Kansas City Sports Commission, and we have a lot of host committee kind of people in town that make these events so great. I mean, you guys are always down at Power and Light. You know how it is when Big 12 men's or other NCAA events come to this town. And so having the opportunity to have another Women's Final Four here would be incredible for this community and for everybody that loves basketball. And so coming out to support this event helps us have the opportunity to kind of tip the scales and get the Final Four to come here.
And, I mean, how much the event's grown since 1998 when it was here the last time around. This is a big event. I mean, you talk about something that has an impact on the community and all that. When the Final Four on the women's side comes to your town, they travel. I mean, there are going to be huge fan bases that come in for something like that. So it's a great opportunity economically for the city.
It was a big opportunity 20 years ago when we were still back at Kemper Arena. I mean, it was like $18 million impact 20 years ago.
Wow.
And so, you know, people build their vacations around going to a Final Four, and they will, you know, Kansas City will be a destination. And so, you know, whether you're a dad with daughters or sons or whomever that just love sports or love basketball, having this event in town, I think, is a really big deal and very exciting. And it's going to be great quality basketball. And it's a Friday night and a Sunday late afternoon night. So great times to go and watch games. And I just hope a lot of people come out to the Sprint Center.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be daughters. I mean, my son goes to some of the KU women's basketball games. We take him up there a couple times a year now that I don't do the play-by-play anymore, and he has a blast. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a great time. It's fun basketball to watch. It's good basketball to watch. And, so I absolutely would encourage people to go check it out. Go ahead, Stephen. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So for people that want to buy tickets, let's get that out there. What's the best way to get tickets? It's just a couple of days away.
Yeah, you know, you can either walk up at Sprint Center, you can go online at SprintCenter.com or the NCAA.com/tickets site also will get you there. So there are a variety of ways. There are still tickets available, but the best seats, you know, are being eaten up. So, you know, get them as soon as you can.
And see, and I was going to say, like, we were talking about the different teams and everything else, and I mean, how many times do you hear, it doesn't matter, UConn's going to win it anyway. But last year taught us it doesn't matter because UConn could lose to Mississippi State. I mean, if there was ever, it seemed like an unbeatable team, it was last year. So anything mm-hmm. can happen.
Absolutely. And you could see the team that beat them and had the right formula to beat them. And then, you know, and it's really an interesting region, right? We've got UCLA on the West Coast. We've got North Carolina State on the East Coast. You've got a couple of South teams in the Big 12 in Texas and SEC in Mississippi State. So there's a little bit of everything. ACC, Pac-12. I mean, all the power conferences, four of the power conferences are represented all over the country. So alumni from those schools and fans of those schools, but just fans of women's basketball. So it's really interesting. It's too bad we don't have a school that's closer that's part of it, but it is really interesting that we have this representation from all over the country coming right here to Kansas City.
You know, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about things we can do to help grow the women's game and continue to get the message out there. And there's always that debate about whether or not the dominance of UConn has been a good thing for women's basketball or a bad thing. And I do look across this tournament and I see a whole lot of chalk. I mean, I see all the one seeds advancing. I think all the two seeds have advanced. There have been a couple of upsets, though. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that in the coverage I've seen of it, there's a lot of people jumping on the Central Michigan bandwagon and the Buffalo, two teams from the MAC that are 11 seeds that have made it to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Do you think it is good for the sport if we can start getting some more of those high-profile upsets and a little more parity? Like, what do you think about where we are right now when it comes to the women's game?
Well, I think a mixture of those things is good. I think it's good to have those recognizable teams that you could say, hey, I want to watch them because I know they're great. I know they're incredible. Mm-hmm. You've got the UConn and Baylor and South Carolina, Notre Dame and Louisville, these teams that are good consistently year in and year out. And then you got a Central Michigan team, and I had a chance with my my schedule, I get to go to the Bahamas and watch Central Michigan earlier this year, which is not a bad deal, right?
Bad.
They are really good. They're just a really good team. Steven, they're one of those teams that you teach your kids about. They pass the ball well, they hustle, they hit threes, they get to the brim, all those things. So I think a mixture, Nate, because you want to see some upsets, you want to know that it's not a foregone conclusion,
right,
but you also want to know who the teams are and be able to identify who some of those players are that you want to root for
stars.
And get after.
You need stars in the game, right? People that move the needle and make you want to come out and spend some money and watch, right?
Absolutely. And that's why I said in this Kansas City region, and, you know, you've got a couple of stars that are 5'4", Morgan William from Mississippi State and Brooke McCarty from Texas, but you also have 6'7", Tierra McCowan. You've got a little bit. You've got great athletes. You have a little bit of everything that fans can really get behind.
You also have a couple of radio hosts that are 5'4", right here.
Yeah,
right.
I know.
See?
I'm all on board
for
that.
Welcome to the show.
There you go.
Hey, we had a 5'6" guy playing for University of Maryland, Baltimore County that was tearing it up, you know? So
yeah.
Now, do you, no pressure, do you have any Nate Buchady stories that might embarrass him on the air?
Oh,
something that you may have seen or
man,
perhaps
Well,
on their gaffe or something, or something
let's
that
see.
Went awry. I mean, I feel like there's got to be some
there's
got to
be
there,
something.
Right?
You know, one thing I did learn about him that he doesn't really like his birthday. He doesn't like having a birthday.
Yeah, I used to hate my birthday. That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was
it. Was always and it was. I felt like every year that I was doing that for my birthday, we were driving to Ames, Iowa. Like, and
is
no
that why you hated your birthday?
I think that was part of it. I mean, no offense to Ames, Iowa, but that's not where I wanted to be going on my birthday. You know,
yeah, you know what, you're doing it wrong in Ames, Iowa.
I guess I was. I guess I was. Anything else before? Okay,
I can't think of anything else.
Hey, you've got an open line here. If, like tomorrow or the next day,
okay,
you
I might take
it.
For some reason,
please
like,
let me know.
This goes back long enough ago that I still had a CD player in my old Saturn that we drove back from Norman, Oklahoma, with one time, and I forced her to listen to the entire Rod Stewart's Greatest Hits CD on the drive back.
Forced.
Well, she ended up like, you know what?
Give me the name of that album.
I might. I might want that. So we bonded over Rod Stewart at one point during the drive.
Yes.
I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of other women's basketball issues while we have you here. And once again, Brenda Van Langen here, one of the best college basketball analysts on the women's side. I love the fact that we see Candace Parker on the set of the men's NCAA tournament.
She's good.
She's really good. More of that. And we're starting to hear Debbie Antonelli was doing games, and I thought she did a great job. I just don't you think that's something that's the more crossover we get in that regard, the better it is for everybody?
Why not? Absolutely. Yes. And Candace Parker, I actually got to work with her on a couple of her first basketball games.
No kidding.
I do play-by-play when I do ESPN SEC Network games, and so I get to work with a lot of young, up-and-coming women that want to be announcers. So I got to work with her. So when I saw her on the set for CBS, I thought she did a great job. And yes, you know, basketball's basketball, right? I mean, what does it matter whose voice you're hearing relative to that? When I got to go to the World University Games in Kazan, Russia in 2013, and I called all the men's and women's games there that went back on ESPNU, and, you know, was able to, really get some insight into, I don't have a lot of time actually to watch men's basketball because I'm doing four or five women's basketball games per year, but it was great for me to be able to do that. And I think it's great when we can all come together in our love for basketball. What does it matter who's on the court or whose voice you hear? Because it's basketball. We all love it, right?
Did either of you get a chance to watch the Real Sports with Brian Gumbel piece on Doris Burke?
I heard about it, but I didn't
see
it.
See that. I
so
love
good.
Her.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. I mean, obviously, I watch a lot of games that she calls, but I didn't know the whole story. And her path and how she doubted herself and just and how Jeff Van Gundy was one of the guys that said, look, you're better than I am. This needs to be when the opening was there and was basically championed her and said, you got to do this, you know, or if you don't deserve it, nobody does. It was so good. So watch that on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
I want to see that because I love her. I just think she does a terrific
job. She's the best, no doubt.
Yeah.
And like I fight with Missouri fans about this, like Beth Mowins did a bunch of Mizzou games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like Beth Mowins. I had enough of Jimmy Dykes by the end of the season. Which is that, you know, don't get me started, Jake. But the point is, I like it. And I love Doris Burke, but I was always had a lot of respect for her. But just watching that Real Sports on Brian Gumbel piece about her, it was fantastic.
I'm glad you brought that up. I got to work with her. When it gets to the Women's Final Four, I actually work in the production truck and I do the telestrator to do all the spot shadows and the lines and all the drawings to illuminate some of the plays. So that's what I've done like for the last 12 years. And I've worked really closely with Doris Burke over those years and she is fantastic. And she's not doing women's basketball games at all anymore because she's doing all NBA and college men's basketball. So yeah, she is terrific. We miss her on the women's side. But it's a gain for men's basketball for sure.
They showed a bunch of pictures from her playing days. She was a baller.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So the other one I want to ask you about is Becky Hammon.
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't seen the latest on this.
I haven't either. I heard some rumors that she's being considered.
With Colorado State?
Colorado State.
I think
they
ended up, I think she said no.
Yeah, it says that she's not going to take it. Yeah. But a lot of people think she's got a chance to become an NBA head coach someday.
Yeah.
And even at that, like, I just think... I remember back in the day, Dick Vitale used to always say that Pat Summitt could coach a men's team, and people thought it was like the most controversial statement, and what's he talking about? And I remember thinking at that time, like, there are men coaching women's basketball all over the place, and nobody blinks an eye.
Right.
I'm doing play-by-play of women's basketball, and nobody says, what the hell does he know about women's basketball? You know?
Hey, man, like, I'm not going to name names. Have you seen some of the D1 men's coaches that they paraded around here?
I mean, you know, right?
I'm going to say, Pat, someone could have done a better job.
I'm just saying that at some point it's going to happen. We're going to see it happen, and we're going to see somebody be really successful, and people are going to look back at how stupid they ever were. Do you think Becky will be the first one? And you know her. I got to meet her a couple times when she was doing television stuff. What is it about her that makes her people think she's got a really good shot at it?
You know, she is so passionate and so knowledgeable and so personable. And she was such a talented player. And Becky Hammon, I've known her since she was in junior high because I started my career as a coach at the University of Nebraska, and she came from Rapid City, South Dakota with her team and was a little baller when she was in junior high and just has that confidence and that chip on her shoulder. And so she wasn't recruited big time Division I. So she went to Colorado State and took them to the Sweet 16. She wasn't drafted in the WNBA, and she went and made a team and becomes one of the top 15 all-time players in the WNBA. She's just one of those people that has a high-achieving motor, and she wants to be the best, no matter men's, women's, whatever the case. She wants to be the best, and Greg Popovich recognized that and gave her the opportunity on the San Antonio Spurs bench, and you know she's gotten to coach at various levels there, and she's prepared. Why wouldn't you want somebody of her caliber that has done everything all over the world to coach your team?
Okay, once again, Friday night at Sprint Center at 6 o'clock, it's the 1 versus the 4, Mississippi State against North Carolina State. Then the late game is UCLA and Texas. Again, Brandon, just tell everyone how important it is for people to come out there and support the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight and how they can get tickets.
So you can get tickets by going to SprintCenter.com or NCAA.com/tickets or walk right up to the Sprint Center and buy your tickets. It's really important that Kansas City shows well because we're being compared to the other four regions around the country as far as hosting women's basketball events in the future. And so, you know, if you're interested at all, come show up, buy your little girls or your little boys team a group of tickets. There are some group discounts available as well. You can contact the Kansas City Sports Commission if you want more information on that. But it's great basketball, and it's some of the best teams in the country, the top four seeds in this region, the only region in the country that all top four are there. The team that knocked off UConn last year, stopped their 111-game win streak, Mississippi State, is right here in town. Texas, out of the Big 12, who is a national champion contender, is here. UCLA, one of the top teams in the Pac-12. And NC State, one of the top teams in the ACC. So great basketball to watch. You're supporting your community. And there's an opportunity for Kansas City to host another women's Final Four. And we need to show up and show out really strong here for this event this weekend.
Nate, do you have any final comments? You look very serious right now.
No, I'm just excited. I wish I could be in town for it. You know, I'm going to be out of town for the sporting game, but I would encourage people for sure to get tickets and go. First of all, you know, represent Kansas City. Let's get a Final Four here next year, which would be awesome, and enjoy some great basketball. And I'll say it again. I mean, you know, sons, daughters, whoever, they're going to go see really good basketball, and they're going to have a lot of fun. And you know what? It's affordable too. So let's check it out. Let's represent Kansas City.
Yeah, the tickets are only $45 for the whole 2-day session. So basically, you're seeing three games for $45.
Brenda, thank you very much for stopping by the studio. We apologize for the odd emails that you receive from our producer at various times.
I'm trying to do my best.
Right. He's very aggressive. He works at a different set of hours than everyone else. So
that's,
you know,
all right,
what?
Jake.
You got to adapt. But he, you know what?
You were awake.
That's it. That's why he's the best in the business. Yeah. Very unconventional. But you're here right now. He gets the job done.
There you go.
He gets it done. Yep.
That's Brenda Van Langen. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.